Hello, everybody. Welcome back to The Lineup, our first ever podcast edition of the show. Same crew as always, though, Ryan Croak alongside Jake Bowen and Joel Polacek. A busy week in college football and NFL football, as always, as we've been covering all fall. A lot to touch on this week and a little bit less time constraints for us, so it should be a fun one, guys.
Yeah, I'm ready to go here, Ryan.
I'm ready. Let's do this.
I'm locked and loaded.
All right, we're starting in the NFL, and we're going to begin with the Denver Broncos taking down the Kansas City Chiefs 22-19 in Denver. Broncos, with this win, improved to 9-2. They have the first seed in the AFC at the moment. Kansas City, on the other hand, they dropped to 5-5. They are ninth in the AFC outside of the playoffs, and they're third in the division, a team that's won the division for several years in a row. It's been quite some time since they haven't been atop the AFC West, and now it looks like they're not going to get the division title for the first time in quite some time. What did you guys make of this one?
I don't even know, man. Like, this is just insane that they're 5-5.
It's not been a great season.
I mean, and you look at the Broncos, like, 59 total rush yards, and they lost the turnover battle, and they still came away with the victory. I don't know what's going on with Kansas City right now. I have faith that they'll pull it together by the end of the year. It's just what they do. They play close games like this, but last year we saw the Black Magic, and they won all these close games, it felt like, and now, you know, the tide has turned.
Well, I'm not concerned about the Kansas City Chiefs. Yes, they're 5-5. Patrick Mahomes, third most passing yards in the NFL. He's still playing at elite level. And I look at these losses. The Chargers are a good team. The Eagles are a good team. The Jaguars are decent.
No, they're not.
They're all right.
They're not a good team.
Listen, they have a winning record.
That's not an indicator of being
a good
team.
So do the Panthers.
All right. They lost to the Bills and now the Broncos. This Chiefs team, they have a tough schedule. And
yes,
it gets easier towards the end of the season.
What, do they have the Raiders towards the end? Is that?
Yeah, they end the season with the Raiders. So that'll be a win for Kansas City. I still think they make the playoffs. Listen, I think this team is too talented.
It's what you'd think would happen, right? It's what you'd expect, but it's not a lock. It really isn't. If they lose three of their final seven games, which a team who's 500 at this point in the season, it's totally on the board. I understand they've played a tough schedule, but that's what they've had for years. They've won this division for years, right? They've had a first-place schedule for years. It's never caused them an issue. This year it is. They are not playing like they have. And I don't think it's fair to say that Mahomes has been playing at an elite level. He was, frankly, not elite in this game. He had that awful interception in the red zone. They just don't look like themselves, and Mahomes doesn't look like himself. I mean, this is a team that in recent years, especially 2 years ago when everyone was doubting them, they weren't winning pretty games, and then they ended up winning the Super Bowl anyway against the 49ers in overtime. That was a team that made its money on winning one-score games and being better when the game was on the line. This year, they're 0-5 in one-score games. Every one-score game they've played in, they've lost. And another thing that sticks out is they've allowed two conversions on 3rd and 10 or more in the fourth quarter in the previous two seasons. This year, they've allowed 4 of those conversions alone. So that's also a very concerning thing for this defense that seems to have taken some significant steps back. I mean, this is a Broncos team that I had severe doubts about. I didn't think they were going to win this game. I didn't give it a second thought. I thought this was where Denver would get exposed. And credit to Denver, but I think this is more about Kansas City as opposed to Denver. That's the way I see it. I don't think Denver earned some respect for this win, but for me, Kansas City, I mean, you look at what they have left. They have an easier schedule going down the path, but like I've said, if they lose 3 of those next 7 games, they're not making the playoffs. They're just not. With 8 losses, they're not making it. They can only lose 2 of those final 7 games to have a chance of getting in, and they still have to play Indianapolis this upcoming week, who's coming off a bye. And that team, listen,
Kansas City.
Of course, I think the Chiefs are going to win that game if you ask me, but is it a given? I don't think it can be with a game like this and the way they've played all year. In Indianapolis, you tell Daniel Jones and that team who's, you know, made their living at a punch of people in the mouth offensively that if they win this game, they are probably going to force the defending AFC champions 3 times in a row to miss the playoffs. That's what's probably going to happen if Indy wins this game. Yeah, I'd be pretty motivated if I'm 8-2 and I have a chance to take down the proverbial king of the conference when they're at their lowest. I mean, talk about giving the death blow to Kansas City. Indianapolis should be motivated by that. It's totally on the board that they lose this game. Not saying they will, but it's totally on the board that they lose this game and then they'd miss the playoffs. I don't think they can lose to Indy and make the playoffs, though.
Right, and I think this Colts team is going to be just ready to go. I mean, you had that Steelers loss. That was the most uncharacteristic game that they've had. We saw vintage Daniel Jones in that one. And then you have this close win versus, you know, we talked about the Falcons quite a bit. An inconsistent team. They've had some great wins. They've had some not so great losses. And they come off with a close overtime win. And with the bye week, I think they're going to be ready to go. And the Chiefs have lost two games at Arrowhead already. So I don't think it's really a guarantee just because they're playing at home. And I think Mahomes really has to sharpen up. I mean, he played better than that Buffalo game, which was...
That was his worst game as a starter.
That was horrendous. 44 completion percentage, but he has to just continue to improve.
He got outplayed by Bo Nix in this game.
I think we're getting this all wrong here. I think this is a Denver highlight in this game. I think the Broncos are proving haters wrong with this win. And the Kansas City Chiefs, while they haven't been their previous few year, the level that they've been at, they're still a good team. And this year, they're still a good team. And I think credit goes to the Broncos, the ability to pull out a victory. The defense
100%.
Is on all cylinders, third fewest points in the league with 17. And they're playing without Patrick Surtain, who had a great season last year, has been a part of this defense.
Best player of the year.
He's been a part of this defense, 4 interceptions last year. And I think Denver is now earning that top tier. I think Denver, by good reason, at 9-2, not only because of their record, now they've been a quality opponent. And I think
this is their first legitimate win. I think that there's no way you're not giving Denver credit for this. To me, I still have some doubts about them. I think that their offense is still a little bit concerning. They did play a good game in this game. Bo Nix probably had the best game he's had of his career. Didn't put up the flashiest stat line in the world, 24-37 for just about 300 yards, but it was the best win for sure and probably the best performance of his career. I mean, that final drive, that 3rd-and-15 completion to Cortland Sutton, and then that deep pass to Troy Franklin to set up that final drive game-winning field goal. I mean, that's what you want out of a quarterback, especially against a team like the Chiefs, who have made their living off of dominating those situations. For Bo Nix to not only succeed in that moment, but also be better than Mahomes, that's a huge encouraging sign for Denver. And we know their defense is legit. They're probably one of the best defenses we've seen in years, if not decades. I mean, this is a team that has all the pieces in terms of if everything goes right, they can make some noise. But I still have my doubts about Bo Nix. I don't think they're going to finish the year with the one seed. They still have some tough games coming up on their schedule. They still have to play Kansas City in Kansas City, and that's not the only tough game they have on that schedule as well. I mean, I don't think they're going to end the year in the one seed, but they have to be taken seriously now as a contender in this year's AFC. To me, after this win, they jump up to third on my list of AFC contenders. I'd put Kansas City first still. I think that you have to give them the credit, and New England is my number two.
Yeah, I think I'm also cautious about the Broncos because they're the most penalized team in the NFL. 10 penalties for 147 yards, still came out with the win. But if this continues in the playoffs against good teams that are more disciplined, they're not gonna advance in the playoffs.
Yeah, I'm not a fan of Sean Payton either. I mean, he is just loves to talk, loves to run his mouth. And, you know, I understand that this is a big win. He's been talking a lot about the Chiefs before this game. Credit to him for winning, but I still don't love Sean Payton. I don't think this team's going to have the playoffs is expecting it's going to have, and I think that Sean Payton's going to get a little embarrassed when that time comes around. Any final thoughts on Kansas City, Denver? All right. Well, let's move on to the NFC West. The Rams taking down the Seahawks 21-19 in LA. Rams now second seed in the NFC. They're 8-2, and they are atop the NFC West. Seattle falls to 7-3. They're fifth in the NFC. And they're now second in the division. What did we make of this one, guys? Sam Darnold, 4 interceptions, but Seattle only loses by 2 and has a chance to win the game with a walk-off field goal.
Yeah, I have to start with a pause. Well, let's actually start with Sam Darnold because he did not play well. 4 interceptions. Both defenses played well in their own ways. The Seahawks did a good job really limiting the time of possession for Los Angeles, made them get off the field. Seattle ended the game with 37 minutes of possession time. And on the other side for the Seahawks defense, the Rams defense, they forced Seattle to take 3 field goals in the red zone. And that really is the reason why you see that 19 on the board for the Seahawks scoring. But Sam Darnold, 4 interceptions, unacceptable. Some of those balls were just right to the defense. And it wasn't even look like he was putting them in competitive areas for his receivers to make a grab. But I think that Los Angeles, they could have played better on offense and really capitalizing on those turnovers that their defense provided for them. But Matthew Stafford was efficient, 130 yards, 2 touchdowns. Not video game numbers, but he did his job.
Yeah, with the Sam Darnold interceptions, 3 out of the 4 were while the Seahawks were in their own territory. And you look at the numbers, 22 minutes of possession for the Rams. They just were given, you know, easy scoring opportunities throughout this game. And you mentioned, Ryan, you know, the Seahawks, they turn the ball over 4 times. They only lose by 2 points. I mean, that's why. Like, the Rams, they had easy scoring opportunities. The offense wasn't on the field very much. I think they had, like, only 12 first downs around there the entire game. So it just really, the Seahawks shot themselves in the foot.
For me, I mean, it sounds like you guys are, how do you feel about Seattle after this game? That's my question to you guys.
I think it's a fluke game because Sam Darnold, he played well last season. He's also playing well this season.
What are your thoughts on what do you think Seattle's ceiling is?
I think after they can win one game past the playoff. One game in the playoffs, they can win.
They can win one game. What do you think
in the playoffs?
I mean, I still think they're really. I think they're a really talented team. I think it's a fluke game, like he said with the Daniel Jones thing.
Yeah.
Kind of gave me vibes of that, like
sure.
Like an old Sam Darnold. I mean, I think they can still be a dangerous team.
What do you think their ceiling
in the
is?
NFC?
What do you think their ceiling is?
The ceiling?
Yeah.
I think they could make the NFC Championship game.
Well,
I'll tell you this.
I think they could.
I think they can make the Super Bowl and maybe even win the Super Bowl.
With Sam Darnold.
I feel better about this team after this game than I did coming in. And let me tell you why, all right? Listen, I'll start with Darnold. Because I know you guys are saying it's a fluke. I also want to say first, it might not be. I mean, this guy, we saw it last year in Minnesota. He is a big game melter. He melted down the last stretch of the regular season. He was horrible
in
their playoff game.
Sometimes he just sees ghosts.
And now you play your first true contending team in LA, and he has his worst game of the season by a country mile.
Right.
So there is concerns with that. Do I think that Darnold is a guy who's going to win you a Super Bowl? No, I don't. But if Seattle's path to a Super Bowl is not through Darnold carrying them there. It's through the offense carrying Darnold there and the defense being one of the best in the league, which it has shown itself to be all season. I mean, listen, if your quarterback is throwing 4 interceptions on the road against a top NFC contender and you are only losing by 2 points at the end of the game and you have an opportunity to walk off the game with a 61-yard field goal and you miss it, I'm pretty happy with that if I'm Seattle. You know, 4 interceptions is 4 interceptions. That's unacceptable, as you said, Jake. But listen, if I need to throw 4 interceptions to lose by 2 to a division rival who's supposed to be one of the best teams, if not the best team in the NFC, I'm feeling pretty good about myself coming home from that game. And I want to bring up Ernest Jones in the press conference because this clip, I couldn't get enough of it. I've watched this clip probably 20 times. Him at the post-game presser, including many expletives along the way, is basically saying, look, we know Sam had a bad game today, but we got his back. He is not the reason we lost. He's on the defense. This defense played a great game today, one of the best offenses in the league, and you hold him to 21 points, and you dominate time of possession, as Jake, you mentioned, and he's still taking blame and saying we can be better? And that, I know it's just locker room talk, but I really couldn't get enough of it. And I think that it's a little bit different feeling with this team than it was with Minnesota last year. Minnesota felt like they were riding high and overachieving all season. With Seattle, it feels like they're a little bit more legit. And I think that it's clear that they have rallied around Sam Darnold for better or for worse. And, you know, this is his first true ugly game of the season. It's not a good sign that it's another game where he struggles against a true contender. But there's a lot to like with the Seattle team still, I think. And I think, again, I had my doubts about them coming into the year. I feel better about them after this game than I did coming in. And I feel better about them than I do the Rams after this game. I'm concerned if I'm LA with the performance like this. 4 interceptions, and again, you only win by 2 on your home turf. Stafford was not great, not bad, but definitely his worst game of the season. And this offense was at full strength, and it really struggled. It really, really did. I will say their defense deserves some credit. They are one of the NFL's best units. They don't get enough love. But, I mean, Seattle, I think Seattle can beat pretty much anybody on any given Sunday.
Yeah, that's a fair point, and I just want to go back. You said you think that they can win the Super Bowl.
That's their ultimate. Again, do I think that's where they're going to be? No. Right. I would not pick them to get there, but the way that they win is if Sam Darnold doesn't cost them a game and their defense shuts down everybody they play and Jackson Smith and Jigba continues having an MVP caliber season, and that's how that's their path.
Right. And I wanted to go back to that. I thought you put that in such an eloquent way. If they're, let's say they win the Super Bowl, hypothetically, it's not going to be Sam Darnold lifting up the team. It's going to be the team lifting up Sam Darnold. I mean, you mentioned in Jigba, he is just, it pains me to say because he's a Buckeye, but he is absolutely,
he's a stud.
He's off the charts right now. He's nuts. And I think it really just, like you said, you feel better about the Seahawks than the Rams right now.
That's what I feel.
Four interceptions, you only lose by 2 points. I mean, Sam Darnold really doesn't have to play like amazing for them to win games.
And he has. When he does, they look great.
Right, and he played awful here, and they lost by two.
Correct.
So he really doesn't have to do very much.
I agree.
I think if Stafford's worst game is 130 yards, 2 touchdowns, no turnovers, that's my MVP. I mean, I just think if it's his worst game, then...
I didn't say he played bad. I said it was his worst game this year. He's had a heck of a year.
And I think that contributes to his MVP conversation.
Oh, 100%. That's an argument you can absolutely make. But still, you get your worst game from Matt. Like, I mean, the defense gave Matthew Stafford some real issues. And they only lost by 2 points. I mean, L.A., I don't love it if I'm them. I really don't. You know, you find a way to win, and that's great. But I think this is a game that kind of exposed some things about the Rams.
I also think Sam Darnold... Yes, Joel and I, we've been talking about how it's a fluke game, but this guy could easily just throw 4 interceptions every game for the rest of the season.
Right. No. 4 interceptions every game?
It's an exaggeration.
Right. All right, sure.
I think he could definitely go back to...
This could be a trend.
It is a trend where he does not play well against good teams, but I'm saying if you can get a performance as awful as this, I don't think Sam Darnold's going to throw 4 interceptions against every contender they play, and they're obviously going to run into some, especially if they make the playoffs, which they will. If he's throwing 4 interceptions, he lose by 2 on the road. I'm happy with that if I'm Seattle, because that tells me, look, we have a team that can face adversity head on, and we have a team that can put itself in a position to win games like this, where their quarterback is having the worst game of his season, and they're still right there with one of the NFC's best teams and the NFL's best teams. That's what I'm thinking if I'm Seattle.
I mean, if you can win games and still lose the turnover battle, which obviously, I mean, if let's say Darnold has 2 picks, you know what I mean. The other team has 0 turnovers, maybe 1. They probably win a game like that, and that is just insane to think about. So I really think this should take less pressure off of Darnold. He should realize, hey, I just got to pitch the ball around. I don't have to be a hero here. I just have to not be terrible.
I agree. Any more thoughts to add on this one?
No, I think we're good.
All right. Moving on to Philadelphia and Detroit. This game, two offenses with a lot of talent, did not combine for many points. 16-9 the final at the link. The Eagles pick up another win. They move to 8-2. They're the best team in the NFC with that record. Detroit, on the other hand, they fall out of the playoff picture. They're 8th in the NFC right outside, and they're 3rd in the NFC North behind surprise division leader Chicago after 10 games.
Yeah, Joel, when we play college football, what's my number one priority? What's something that I always have as my number one priority?
Taking the points.
Detroit did not do that. 0-5 on fourth down, and all right, some of those fourth downs were in their own territory. Three of those fourth downs were inside the 40. One of them was at the 45. Those two field goals inside the 40, yes, I know it was
windy. 63-yarder at the 45, by the way. 63-yarder.
Inside the 40, more manageable for Jake Bates. Sure. He hit a long field goal at the end.
Yeah.
That's 6 points. Now, I know you're not going to win the game, but that put by the scoring margin, 16-9 the final, you're still in the game. And if Dan Campbell, there's one play where Detroit was right at the goal line. It was 4th and goal, and they go for it. You take the points. That's a chip shot field goal. Now, if it would be another...
I disagree with this wholeheartedly, by the way.
I think it's another story if Philadelphia's putting up points on the board. Like, it's nothing. But if I'm Detroit, I need the points. That's what I'm taking. Yeah, Dan Campbell, a little too aggressive.
You have to find a balance.
I disagree with this.
You have to find a balance.
All right.
My take on this is who the Lions are. This is who they've been. This is who Dan Campbell has been his entire career. And my thing is if the Lions go away from being this aggressive-minded team, that's part of what gives them an edge. You never know what to expect from this team offensively. You know they're going to take a bunch of chances. You know they're going to take risks that nobody else in the league is willing to take. And honestly, if you're willing to fall on the sword, which this team has shown time and time again, I give them a lot of respect for that. Can it cost them? Yeah. But at the same time, if they succeed on these opportunities, we're praising Dan Campbell and we're giving him all the flowers in the world. Now, I understand, Jake. I think we have a different sort of preference in terms of offensive philosophy. I think you're a little bit more conservative than I am, and I understand that for sure. For me, though, I love a team that sticks to its identity for better or for worse, and I think that that's what Detroit has done. I think that this philosophy has been a reason why Detroit's lost some games and some marquee matchups at times, especially against a team like Philadelphia. But it's also been a reason why they've become one of the NFC's top-tier teams and one of the NFL's best offenses in over the past few years. If they are playing conservative football and not really going with what they've identified with, I think that's where things kind of get lost. I think that if Detroit goes away from that, especially, you got to stick true to your philosophy. I understand you're trying to win the game, but that's what's won Detroit games over the last few years, and I respect them for going
for it. Is there a line, though?
I'm not concerned.
Because
there absolutely is a line. Because
you can stick by your identity, but I think at a certain point you have to have some kind of bounce. 0-5, that's atrocious.
You win some,
and I'm going to be honest with you. This Detroit team is very talented. This isn't a team that I could see winning the Super Bowl.
Me neither.
Because,
I agree.
Because stuff that, like this will cost them.
I don't think they can. That's not why they can't win the Super Bowl in my eyes. They can't win the Super Bowl in my eyes because they're just not as physical as they have been. That offensive line has taken some steps back. Now Frank Ragnow just retired last season, and that's going to hold them back from a deep playoff run. But listen, this is a team with a top five offense and a top 10 defense. They can play with anybody in the league, and they can beat anybody in the league on any given weekend. Some things haven't gone their way. That's why they're currently out of the playoff picture. But this team's going to be in the playoffs by season's end. And I'm not worried about Dan Campbell and his aggressiveness by any means. I don't understand this from you guys, to be honest with you. I really don't.
Well, I disagree. I think this is the whole reason why that they could not even make the playoffs if Detroit plays like this every game. They're not making the playoffs. I'm sorry.
Disagree.
Just find a bounce. Like, 0-5.
It could be one thing if they go for maybe one or two fourth downs. Going for five is insane. It'd be one thing if they go for five fourth downs and the Philadelphia is winning 40-9. It's another thing if the game is within reach, ended in a one-score game, and you're going for five fourth downs, especially two of them were inside that 40-yard
line. And you only have one touchdown in this entire game.
Yes.
You only have one in the entire this is literally the definition of insanity.
This is what Detroit has done for years, and this is a major part of their resurgence as a franchise.
And they'll never win a Super Bowl doing it.
I disagree.
They never will.
I think it's on the board for them. I think that their best chance was probably a year ago when they didn't pull it off, but I don't think aggressiveness has been this team's flaw. It's just been a fact that they've run into teams who have kind of shut down the offense. I don't want to say fourth down. Missed fourth downs haven't been something that I've been worried about with the Lions. It's a matter of if their offense gets stifled, they have a little bit of trouble.
If they get stifled,
that's what happened
to this
team.
Points.
Well, listen, taking the points, again, I think that this is fourth and down on the goal line. I mean, you want to talk about fourth and downs on the goal line. Talk about the Patriots last week against Tampa Bay. A season-defining win for them, and they go four downs on the one. They get stuffed three times in a row. They threw a goal line fade to Stephon Diggs in the back corner. If that's a pass, that pass got completed for a touchdown to end the half. That pass does not get completed. It's 10-7 Tampa Bay at the half, and we're talking about an entirely different ballgame.
Are we talking about the Lions?
Listen,
what game are we talking about here?
Bear with me here. My point is, Mike Vrabel got praise up the wazoo for that decision. I loved it. I thought it was great. I thought it was excellent. It's called consistency. The Lions go for fourth downs. That's what they've done for years, and I'm going to respect the fact that they continue to do it because that's what they've built their success on.
Listen, hindsight's 20/20. If they went 5-5, we'd be talking differently.
We're talking differently. My point is that I'm going to try to cut through that, and I'm going to say, listen, if they go 3-5 on fourth down, I'm giving them praise. They go 0-5. You're not going to convert every fourth down. I think Philadelphia's one of the best defenses in the league.
I think it's incomparable with the Patriots game and this game because the Patriots don't go for fourth down every single game.
Fair
consistently.
Enough.
Dan Campbell does that, and it has been working.
That fourth down and goal thing, though. They don't get the fourth and goal at the goal line.
I think four downs from the 1 yard line is way different than four downs from the 5 yard line. I think it's incredibly different.
They both went for a fourth and goal at the one.
Ryan, to your point, I just want to say this, and I'm all about balance. I could see going for two or three fourth downs. But to your point with Detroit and their identity, I would much rather see them go 0 for 5 than to not go for fourth down at all. And I'll give you that.
I agree.
You know, I will give you that.
That's my point. Let's move on to Philly. Let's move on to Philly here. What do we make of this team? Because I'll tell you this. This is the best defense in the National Football League. They don't have the greatest numbers, but they've played a gauntlet of great offenses. They just held Detroit to single digits. They held Green Bay to 7 the week before. And they've beaten other great offenses like the Cowboys, the Bucks, the Rams, and the Chiefs, all of whom have either great quarterbacks or great offensive skill position players or even both. And they've beaten all of them.
Yeah, to give the Eagles credit, last two games, Packers allowed 7 points, and now the Lions allowed 9 points. Two great teams coming into the season and with winning records, and we got to give credit to where credit's due. They've allowed over 20 points per game this season, which is kind of in the middle of the NFL in terms of that number, but they've really showed out against good opponents when it matters, though. And this offense is just barely doing enough to get the job done. I don't think this offense has been anything to praise this season.
Nah, it's concerning. The offense is concerning.
It is incredibly concerning. I mean, especially when you have, on paper, the talent that they have.
The most talented offenses in the league.
I would agree. And they're just not producing. Yep. They're not producing. And you can talk all you want about Saquon having a down year. He was never going to recreate what he just had.
Yep.
And the offensive line, you know, I mean, Lane Johnson, I mean, I feel for the guy. He's had a terrible season riddled with injuries, but I mean, Jalen Hurts was 14 for 28. You get the ball to A.J. Brown 7 times, only 49 yards. They just, I just don't get it. They're just not producing at the level that they should be.
They're not, but I'll tell you this. I think that they have, it's not been pretty, and it's concerning, but I think that this team will figure it out, and they've shown, like, that with the Super Bowl, it'd be different if they hadn't won the Super Bowl last year. I think they've shown that they have a winning pedigree now, and they have earned more trust, and they have earned trust that they will figure it out. Listen, they've shown that they are playoff risers. They've shown that they rise to the occasion. They don't shrink in these big moments. And I think that, you know, A.J. Brown might not be putting up 12 catches, 150 yards, and 2 scores every game. Saquon might not be running for 150 yards a game. Jalen Hurts might not be throwing 4 touchdowns every single game. But they win the games. That's what matters at the end of the day.
Right.
And that's what this team has shown it can do. And I think that when it comes time to win the games and then when they matter most, the playoffs, that's what they are more trustworthy than anybody in the league. They're right. The top dog right now.
They find ways to win.
I don't think there's a challenger to them being the top dog. I don't think there's a team in the league who can challenge them right now as the NFL's top dog.
Right. And I will tell you why.
They beat the Rams.
Yeah, in a snowy environment last year in the NFC.
They beat the Rams this season.
I still think if you play them again, the Rams are going to win.
Disagree. They've won four straight against LA. They've won 4 straight against LA. They've owned LA for years now.
Yeah, that's just. I'm just going to go back to you, Ryan. I think this happens to Philly. This is something that happens during these regular seasons. I think they'll figure it out. I think they'll get their footing by the end of the year. Come playoffs, they'll be ready.
It's reminding me, it's reminiscent of when the Chiefs went back-to-back and they won that year against the 49ers. That was like, that offense was terrible all year. Everybody doubted them, they weren't winning pretty, but they were winning games, and they ended up winning the Super Bowl. I think we're seeing something similar with this Philly team. I still trust Jalen Hurts, and their defense is legit. They just made Jared Goff play his worst game as a Lion.
I don't think Saquon's having a down year. I think Saquon's having one of his worst years of his career.
That's a down year as well.
3.8 yards. A down year for Saquon Barkley should be his worst year of his career.
You have to look at the offensive line. It's not all on him. The offensive scheming
is also terrible.
Saquon on the New York Giants did not have a good offensive line with an 8.
He didn't have the amount of talent around him either. The team went through him. He got the ball.
Listen, you're dumping on Saquon right now with Joel Palacio. That's a bad idea.
You're not going to win this battle.
It's a bad idea.
You watch the games. See the offensive line. I mean, Lane Johnson is arguably the best player in football, I think, when he's healthy.
The concerns with Philly's offense, in my mind, do not – is Saquon still a good player problem. I have zero doubts that Saquon is still one of the best running backs in the league. My questions are all at the foot of Kevin Petullo, the offensive coordinator, who's done truly an awful job. That's where the concern is. I don't have any doubt that Saquon's one of the premier running backs in football. I really don't.
He's pulling up
his
stats.
Even if he's not being all that productive. he hasn't been all that productive. He hasn't been productive, and that's a fair criticism. But listen, there is very few people I'd rather have with the ball in their hand if I'm any team in the NFL in the backfield than Saquon Barkley.
Put your guy Ashton Jeanty on the Eagles. Do you think he's having
a better season? Of course, because the Raiders are the worst offensive line in the NFL.
No, I'm asking, do you think if he was in Barkley's situation, would he have a better year than what Barkley is having right now on the Eagles?
Yes, because the Raiders have a worse offensive line.
That's not what I'm saying. I'm saying look at Barkley's season. I see it on your screen. 3.8 yards per carry this year.
Okay.
If Ashton Jeanty is on the Eagles and not Saquon, does he have more than 3.8 a year? Is he significantly better than Saquon on the Eagles if Jeanty's on the Eagles?
Yes.
No. It's a scheming thing.
It's a scheming thing.
I disagree. It's a
scheming thing. I also think Jalen Hurts, we have to touch on him. Only four games this year with over 200 passing yards.
They don't ask him to throw for more than 200 passing yards a game. That's not their offense. Yeah. Jalen Hurts isn't a guy they rely on to throw 300 yards a game. That's why this team is so dangerous. Jalen Hurts is a guy they rely on to make the plays.
He's
so
underappreciated.
Amen.
It's ridiculous.
Makes, listen, this guy is a proven winner. He makes plays when they need him to make plays. He's never going to cost a team a game. He is never going to cost the Eagles a game. Not once has he cost the Eagles a game this season. Right. His play has not cost the Eagles a game. When the Eagles lose, it's because of something else. It's not because Jalen Hurts had a bad game. He's not putting up a four-interception game like Sam Darnold.
Right. And I think, you know, we talked about the Seahawks uplifting Sam Darnold. I think a lot of people have that mindset with Hurts, and I just don't think it's true. I think
I
that team is full, you know, maybe Saquon or A.J. Brown might be a better player, but they're pieces to a puzzle. You need Jalen Hurts there. You need his leadership and his mentality, his rushing ability.
He has outplayed Patrick Mahomes twice in the Super Bowl. Twice.
Mm-hmm.
That's a guy who deserves all the credit in the world.
He won Super Bowl MVP.
Correct.
And people are still asking for more.
Agreed. I think they're the clear top dog in the league. I don't really think that there's anybody who's challenging them right now. All right. We've talked NFL. Time to move on.
Yeah.
To college football.
This is where the fun begins.
This is where Joel.
Yeah, that was good.
This is where Joel's going to start to lose his mind. All right.
Oh, yeah.
We're starting with A&M in South Carolina. Number three team in the country goes down 30-3 at halftime at home to a team with a single SEC win entering the game.
Doesn't matter.
Who was 3-6.
Here we go.
And
here we go, Ryan.
All right. You
the
know
delusion.
What? You know what, Mr. Bowen? Take it away, champ.
Wow.
Take it away.
I
how is
I A&M
defend? This is absurd.
You're going to appreciate this, Joel. It's not about how hard you can hit.
Yeah.
It's about how hard you can get hit and keep moving forward.
Oh,
how much
God.
You can take and keep moving forward, because that's how winning is done. I don't care.
It's a concern when you're taking it from South Carolina, though.
Who won the game?
Texas A&M did. They don't get credit for that in my
well,
mind.
Of course they
great
do. They
quote.
Have a win.
Great quote.
Why do they get? You're gonna win. You're just gonna
listen,
win. Listen, Rocky quote. Are you serious?
Every
you
team.
Get out of here.
Every,
this is absurd.
Every
this
team,
is
absurd. Every team has
you
adversity. Every good
though.
Team is going
this
to face adversity
ridiculous.
At some point. I don't care if it's against the number one team or against the worst team. You're going to face adversity, and it's about how you respond. And Texas A&M went into the half down 27. They scored 28 consecutive points to win. What a second half from Marcel Reed. Three touchdown passes, no turnovers, end of the day with over 430 yards, nearly 300 in that second half. That is how a good
Right, before
a
you talk
great
about
football
Reed.
Call my number, coach. Call my number. Call me out of the bullpen, because this is exactly
yeah.
why I'm here.
Yeah.
You want to talk about this game, Jake? Listen, you can take a game like this one of two ways. You can take it the way you're taking it. Oh, props to them for coming back. It's hard to win games in the SEC. They found a way to win. You know, SEC teams, they're such a great conference. It's hard to beat anybody in that conference. I mean, oh my goodness. Well, listen, I'm taking it the opposite way. This game proves what I've been thinking about Texas A&M all season long. This team cannot be taken seriously as a national title contender. They are riding high on their undefeated record. They have wins that really shouldn't be on their schedule. I still will tell you that Notre Dame win was total bogus nonsense. But again, we're not going to start that debate now. We're going to talk about this game instead. 27 points at home against South Carolina. That's how much you trail at half against a team who had won one SEC game all year. That's absurd. That's absurd. It's inexcusable. This team's first half was one of the worst first halves I've seen out of a team this season, regardless of level. Not just a team that was ranked and not just a team that's in the top five.
And they won the game!
This is one of the worst first... I'm not finished, all right? Two missed field goals, three turnovers, two interceptions, and a fumble return for a touchdown. 4 dropped passes. Marcel Reed was horrid in this first half. 6 of 19. 2 interceptions and a fumble that was returned for a touchdown. Oh, 439 yards. Oh, look at that. That's great. That's nice and shiny. That's a career high. You're going to have 400 yards when you're down 27 at half.
Yeah, you're not rolling the ball.
You're passing the ball every time. And I'll give him credit. He looked great in the second half, but still. That first half showed me that this team is not a true contender. They make mistakes. They put themselves in a position where they were going to get embarrassed on their home field by a team that has had an awful, awful season. And this is a Texas A&M team that I've had doubts about all year, and I've been waiting for a game like this. And, man, if this game... And they nearly blew it, too. They really did in that second half. That fumble inside the red zone, inside the 10-yard line in the fourth quarter, you give South Carolina a chance to go win the game anyway.
Right. And listen, I've been an A&M doubter this entire year, and I got to say one thing before I rip into them. A comeback like this, you got to give a team credit either way, you know, coming back from this adversity. But this is my thing here, and if you look at this game, A&M came back, sure. But what really happened here is South Carolina just choked this game. You see Shane Beamer celebrating at halftime. They won the turnover battle 4-1 in the entire game. They were scoreless in the second half, and Texas A&M throughout the entire game was 2-for-11 on third down. Ryan, you bring up the fumble. They had it just gift-wrapped in their hands, an opportunity to win this game. And you want to know what happened, Jake?
Texas
Lenora Sellers
looked
like
play.
A Raiders wasted draft pick with the way that he played. A&M lost the ball on South Carolina's one-yard line. A 2nd-and-1 for the Gamecocks turns into a 4th-and-16 after Sellers is sacked 2 times. And on that 4th-down-and-16, he decides to run instead of putting the ball in the air. That was probably the worst series for a quarterback I've seen, maybe worse than the Reed ones. How do you not put the ball in the air? Give your team a chance. They completely threw the game, and Texas A&M should be ashamed of this performance.
Because they had
Agreed.
No momentum.
A team that plays, listen, you credit for winning the game. All right, sure. Gold star to Texas
A&M.
What a win.
Here's the deal. This team hasn't played a real opponent since
Notre Dame. All right, you are so high on Notre Dame. Since Notre Dame.
We'll talk Notre Dame later on.
Remember,
in the show.
They didn't actually beat Notre Dame.
Notre Dame later on in the show. My point is team who puts up that first half is not a national title team.
Completely.
You're not seeing that from Georgia. You're not seeing that from Indiana. You're not seeing that from Ohio State. And you know who you're not seeing that from, as much as you might want to give them crap? Notre Dame. You're not seeing that at Notre Dame. 2 missed
Boston
field goals,
College
3 turnovers, and 4 drop passes. You're not seeing that from Notre Dame. You're not seeing that from Notre Dame or Ohio State or Indiana against each other. You put Texas A&M against South Carolina at home, and they play that way.
Yeah.
That is red flag. Sound the alarm, and it's DEFCON 3. DEFCON, you know, DEFCON goes from, like, descending, right? DEFCON 5, like, safe, right?
I don't know.
All right, DEFCON like 2. We'll put it at DEFCON 2. Not quite DEFCON 1.
Too.
DEFCON 1 if they lose. We'll put it at DEFCON 2.
You're completely right. If they were down by 14 at half, sure. Down by 14 at a half to a terrible team is a classic Kirby Smart mid-October move. And what does he do? He stomps them in the second half. And 30-3?
Pretty bad.
You cannot look... Jake, I'm talking to you here. You cannot look me in the face without a smile and tell me that you think the Texas A&M Aggies can actually do something in the college football playoff.
They of course can.
Who can they beat in the playoff?
They've already beat Notre Dame, so they can do that.
Notre Dame would steamroll.
I take them over Oregon. I take them.
And
over
I don't like
Notre
Dame.
Ohio would destroy them.
Trying to think of other teams, you know, I take them over Alabama.
Of the teams currently in the bracket,
no.
In A&M, one of the hardest places to play, by the way, at College Station.
Well, listen, your Aggies are going to have a first round bye, and they're not going to have that. Well, actually, no, because
unless
they
lose
the
SEC,
they're going to lose the SEC,
and they're not going to win that game.
Nope.
I don't care who they play. They could play Ole Miss, and they're not beating Ole Miss.
No,
they're not beating.
Listen, I mean, South Carolina just showed it's pretty easy to play at Kyle Field. I'll just say that.
Yeah, home of the 12th man.
Yeah. 12th man. I mean, put the 12th man out on the field. Put him out there for more
stuff.
Yeah, they're going to need that
help. You want to bring up Notre Dame. If A&M is so terrible. And
we'll talk Notre Dame later.
Terrible team to beat Notre Dame, then I don't know what that makes Notre Dame. But
we'll talk Notre Dame later. All right. Are we ready to move on?
Yeah.
The Aggies are frauds.
We'll just
end it there.
Nope.
Moving on to Texas and Georgia. This is a game that Jake's two beloved teams, his beloved Bulldogs and his beloved Longhorns, it only make it better if his beloved Commodores were watching from the sideline. But your Bulldogs, who you're actually least fond of the three, destroyed your precious golden boy Arch Manning and embarrassed him again. It's happened for the third time this season.
He was not embarrassed.
He was terrible as always.
He was not embarrassed.
Oh, he was awful. Listen, this is your preseason Heisman favorite, and
he's going to be the best Manning.
Not a bad game for Arch Manning. He only completed 27 of his 43 passes and then a touchdown and interception. And
bad game.
It's not the worst game he's played this season, that's for sure. And that's
Gunnar
pretty terrible.
Gunnar Stockton sat down Arch Manning and had a talk with him.
Amen.
Texas' defense did not come to play.
Oh, yes. Let's blame this on Texas.
They gave up 35 points.
Texas' defense gave up 35 points, but they kept Texas in the game for three quarters. Georgia started giving them the belt in the fourth. When it was clear that Texas's offense wasn't doing anything.
It was 14-10 Bulldogs at the end of the third quarter.
All right, listen, I watched this whole game through.
So
as did we.
And I will say, Arch Manning is not the problem.
He had some pretty incompletions.
He's not the problem, but he didn't help him.
Steve Sarkisian needs to be fired. Steve Sarkisian is calling too many of these RPO screen lateral plays for Arch instead of focusing and forcing the most talented quarterback in the nation to throw the football down the field. You have the arm of Arch Manning. You can mold him into a great, not even pocket passer, just a great quarterback, but you got to force him to make the throws down the field. You can't have him doing lateral plays. That's how you decrease his confidence, because then he can't grow down the field.
Well, yeah, that makes up for a 25-point deficit.
I mean, you can't
decrease
his confidence by very much anymore with the level that he's playing. Are you kidding me? What, Steve Sarkisian should not be fired?
Awful take.
He just needs an OC. He should not be calling plays.
I agree.
Is not a pattern that works in college football anymore. And his red zone play calling, to be frank, is just awful.
If any Texas coach had an awful night, it was the special teams coach. I mean, that talk about that onside kick. That was vintage Kirby Smart there. I know he was fuming at that. They had a big return, and it was a block in the back, and he was screaming at the guy who committed the penalty. I mean, we were laughing about this during the game, Joel. That guy looked like he wanted to be anywhere else but that sideline.
Oh, yeah.
And he had a rough game. I mean, we'll talk about Texas, and we've talked about him a little bit already. I'll say this. This team, they have zero chance to make the playoff. And I think that the only reason this team was being propped up as high as that's absurd.
They could beat Texas.
Oh, because your precious Aggies.
They're not going to make it in with three losses.
They're not. They're just not. They're not.
And they shouldn't. If Alabama didn't last season, then Texas shouldn't this season.
Correct.
It is the same scenario virtually.
I agree. I'll tell you this. The only reason they're even ranked as high as number 10, and even as high as number 17 now after this game, not even that. It's because they were the preseason number one. People don't want to be embarrassed that they were wrong.
It's because of the Oklahoma game. Because
disagree.
Because they destroyed them and they dropped out of the top 25. It's not because of the preseason.
Disagree.
It's just not.
The way I see it, I don't think this team enters this game number 10 and enters this game number 17 without being preseason number one first. I think they entered this game as the round 15 or 13 or 14. The problem is that they're being... Like when Penn State was losing, they didn't drop out of the top 10. They didn't drop all the way out. They dropped out once it was clear that they had completely gone off the rails.
They dropped out after their second loss to UCLA.
Correct.
Which,
but my point is that when you lose to Northwestern, that's a bad loss. But the reason that Penn State was ranked so high to begin with was their talent on the roster. And I think that's what the same thing with Texas. Their talent is so good that they need to be the preseason number one. And the thought process is, okay, they might have two losses. They don't have the best resume. But hey... We'll put them at 10 because I think they're talented enough where if they went out, we'll see what happens.
Okay.
They never belonged there.
They're 17 right now. You think Michigan, Virginia, Tennessee, Illinois are better than Texas?
Yes.
No.
I would pick Michigan to beat Texas. I would pick USC to beat Texas.
I'd pick.
They're ahead of them, of course.
Miami, they would beat. Texas, they would beat Miami. They'd beat Utah.
Miami is so fraught.
But the fact of the matter is again, this is when I think the committee's also got an issue with the term. Again, it's about, is it about resume or is it about quality of team?
Listen, that Oklahoma win is undeniable, Ryan. 23-6.
I think that you can deny it because Mateer came back. Mateer got rushed back from an injury and he didn't play well. Well, listen, I'm not going to give them no credit for that Oklahoma win. I think it was a big win.
Don't play me.
My point is again, I don't think that a team that is 7-3, a team that's 7-2 with their losses coming, like, I mean, the Ohio State loss is not bad, but they did not look good at any point this. They did not have a dominant win this season that I think they looked great in, aside from Oklahoma. And even that Oklahoma game, I wouldn't say they looked great. They were just better.
Yeah, I don't know. We can go around in circles. I think they deserve the ranking where they are.
Fair enough.
Yeah.
How about Georgia?
Georgia, yeah.
They're my national champions. What is going on? Georgia, 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 the Bulldogs. How about a listen?
Happy to jump off the Texas bandwagon for his beloved Bulldogs. Oh, yeah, look at that. Look at that. There they go. Yep,
Gunnar
Texas
Stockton
is done.
The new golden boy.
Gunnar Stockton.
Dropped.
He's playing unbelievable. 250 yards.
He's been a lot better than Arch, yeah.
And five touchdowns. Well, this season, yes. Over 250
Who's
yards.
A better quarterback, Arch Manning or Gunnar Stockton?
Would I rather have on my team right now?
Who's a better? That's not my question. Who's a better quarterback?
Right now?
Not right now. Who is a better quarterback?
Probably Gunnar Stockton.
Thank you. Thank you.
Yeah, it's literally.
But it's close.
No, it is not. It's quite literally
Arch
is not.
Manning is like, he's fine.
He's all right.
He's all right.
He's going to prove all the haters wrong.
He should have never had these expectations. They're unfair for him.
Correct.
I mean, you had this guy to my left saying he was going to be the best Manning of all time.
I still think he will.
Manning is one of the greatest quarterbacks.
I know. He is one of the greatest quarterbacks.
This is psychosis level. Psychosis
Ethan
level.
Gruckemeyer will be a better NFL quarterback.
No, he will. Ethan Gruckemeyer won't touch the NFL.
Wrong.
He won't touch the field.
Wrong.
Ethan Gruckemeyer, I think Texas would play better with him than they would with Arch Manning.
No. What? No. You think? I don't know why
we... What's the stat with Mendoza?
Only quarterback who's had a higher QBR in a head-to-head meeting with Mendoza this season.
I'm just saying, his stats don't look great, and I'm sorry to jump on the Penn State thing here, but, like, if you watch the tape, Ethan Gruckemeyer...
All right. That's where we stop. That's where we stop. Georgia time. I'll tell you this. Georgia is the team that should be most trusted in the SEC to win the national championship.
Yeah.
They're the most well-rounded team in the conference. I think Bama at its peak is still the best team in the conference, but they do have a one-dimensional offense. And I think you saw that get exposed by Oklahoma.
Georgia's not going to win the national championship.
However, they're not going to win the national championship.
That Notre Dame loss from last year has scarred me from ever having faith in them.
Who is in their way?
Ohio State and Indiana are both clearly a tier above above Georgia.
I don't think so.
I disagree firmly. I think Georgia is a team that still has concerns at its quarterback position that Ohio State and Indiana do not. Gunnar Stockton, as good as he's played in these big games, I'll give him credit. Both games against top 10 opponents this year have been the best games of his career. He's had five total touchdowns in both of them and above 80% completion against Ole Miss and Texas this season. He's taken major strides. I had my doubts about him. But I think you saw in that Alabama game in particular that he can't match up with a guy who is a premier passer and a guy like Ty Simpson. And if he's in a game, especially against a guy like Mendoza or against Sayin, with those offenses, he's not going to win you a quarterback duel against a great quarterback. Now, is he going to win you quarterback duels against Trinidad Chambliss and Arch Manning? Yeah, because those guys aren't premier quarterbacks in the way that Sayin and Mendoza are.
I don't think Ohio State's played anybody, by the way.
Are you going to argue that Georgia should be favored above Ohio State?
No, I'm not saying they should be favored. I'm just saying, I trust Georgia more than Ohio State.
I'm
going to
be the voice of reason.
That is absurd. That is purely absurd.
Outside of any Michigan fan, I am the person that dislikes the Buckeyes the most in the world. And you can talk about, you know, Indiana and Ohio State being above Georgia. I don't care if Ohio State loses to Michigan in the final week. I don't care if they get blown out by Indiana in the Big Ten championship. Or maybe if they got blown out. I don't care if they lose Indiana in the Big Ten championship. Ohio State is clearly the best team in the country.
100%.
And they're even a little bit up of a level above Indiana. They don't even have to play their starters in the fourth. And you know, Jake Bowen, you're a guy that always talks about, what do they have to do? They just have to win. They have to win. And what Ohio State is doing is they're taking care of these teams in three quarters. They're doing exactly what they have to.
This defense is historically good. Historically,
I could take care of Purdue and UCLA for you. I mean, Those aren't teams that jump off the page. You only
what? They're winning by a lot. What else do you want? What do you want from them on this schedule? What do you want? What do you want for them to do better? What do you want? I'm actually asking.
If you want to talk about doing...
Answer the question. What do you want them to do better?
Answer
the question.
Where do they... What,
no,
what,
I, yeah. It's a great question. They're 10-0 right now. What do they need to be doing better here? Yeah, they took care of UCLA by 38, Purdue by 24. They beat Penn State by 24, Wisconsin by 34.
Let him answer. Let's hear it. What do they have to do?
The committee's got to put a hard
schedule. No. What does Ohio State have to do better on that schedule?
Every team they play should score no points.
Okay.
That's what they
do better. That's just absurd.
And you know what?
They have the best defense.
You talk about the
They have a historic defense, Jake. Less than double-digit average points against. Nobody else in the country is doing that.
Yeah. I mean, it's easy when you're not playing good opponents.
You talk about Texas's defense also not playing well, and they didn't play well against Georgia.
This is absurd.
They held Ohio State to 14 points, and you know what the issue was in that game?
You know what else?
Arch Manning in
the
offense.
Let's have some fun. We'll talk about a team with a schedule. Who could have done more with their schedule? You want to talk about Georgia and their schedule? They beat Austin Peay, and it wasn't pretty. This is a Georgia team that looked awful at the beginning of the year. Austin Peay, 28-6 at home. Yeah, come on, man. This is a Georgia team that has a loss on its schedule. They barely beat Auburn with some controversial officiating. They barely beat Florida. They didn't look great against Mississippi State. Charlotte
might be a scare.
That is an absurd take. The only argument you have for trusting Georgia more than Ohio State is that you don't trust Ryan Day. And unfortunately, after he won the championship last year, that argument's out the window.
Yeah, it is.
So. Tough luck, bud. But Kirby Smart and your golden boy Gunner, your new golden boy Gunner Stockton. You're like Andy in Toy Story. I don't want to play with you anymore, Arch. Give me Gunner Stockton. Yeah, they're not doing anything in terms of national championships. Now, can they make it to the Final Four? Yeah, if they get a nice draw, but they're not winning a national championship. They're not. They are going to have the low. If they're going to be the four seed, if they're going to have a bye.
If they make it to the SEC championship, they're winning, no doubts in my mind.
We'll talk about the SEC championship.
I agree.
We'll get to it later.
Georgia would beat Bama.
Georgia's best case scenario is not playing in the SEC championship game. Is to lose based. I'll get to that later. I want to put it out there.
They can lose to Georgia Tech and lose in the SEC championship, and I think they'd still make it in the playoffs.
No, okay.
Why is it better for them if they're not?
Because then they don't have to play an SEC team and have that potential to lose a game, and then they get a worse draw in the playoffs.
They'd probably get a really easy. They'd be playing your
Aggies, who are clearly a tier one national title contender, and. Well, you know, if you lose to Texas A&M, that's not a bad loss at all, right? Can't discredit the team for doing that, right? In theory?
I just think it's in their best interest to rest their starters.
I think it's absolutely in Georgia's best interest to get a game against Texas A&M, absolutely pants Texas A&M, and get the third seed in the playoff and get a first-round bye. I think that's absolutely in their best interest. 100%. But that's a different discussion. Final game that we're going to touch on in this episode, Oklahoma. Beating my Crimson Tide 23-21 at Bryant Denny. I understand that there is a victory lap to be had for you guys, but
I'm
not going down without a fight.
I like to have fun.
I'm not going down without a fight. So yeah. Let's hear it.
All right, man.
Alabama's one-dimensional, and that's why they're not going to win in the playoffs. They cannot run the football. Alabama, and they rely too much on Simpson. And yes, while he's been playing well. Sooner or later, it's going to catch up to him. And that's what happened in this game.
That was nice.
Two turnovers.
Was that on purpose? That was good. Sooner or later, yes.
Sacked four times. Granted, Oklahoma is second in the nation in sacks, but the offensive line was not good. Alabama is known for having a good offensive line. Simpson, two turnovers. Not good. Forced fumble, interception. And... yeah, I get that Oklahoma only won by 2 points, but Mateer didn't have to do a lot. Kind of like this Seahawks and Rams game, right? Where Stafford didn't have to do a lot, Mateer didn't have to do a lot. 160 yards and a touchdown. So I think the main takeaway, Alabama is too one-dimensional, and it's catching up to them.
You know, I just want to say one thing before Ryan defends the Tide, and I'm going to defend him a little bit here too. Now, Oklahoma, what a signature win for this squad. That defense is just outstanding, but they're not going to do anything in the playoffs. And you want to talk about being one-dimensional? this team's offense, you just can't trust them. Talk about being one-dimensional. All they have is the defense. And they're not going to make it far. They're not going to make it far in the playoffs.
Is it my turn?
Of course.
Listen, I'm going to save my thoughts on Oklahoma for later on in the show. I'll just say this about Alabama. This is still the SEC team with the highest ceiling
and the best chance of winning
a national championship.
I agree.
100%.
In the SEC?
They have the highest ceiling in the SEC. 100%. Who has a higher ceiling than
Georgia?
Them? Absolutely not, because this higher team ceiling? Beat Georgia. Georgia's ceiling is...
You're talking about ceiling. You're not talking about how they played in the game.
That's fair.
My whole,
for Jake.
Fair enough. My point is this. Alabama is the team with the highest ceiling because I don't meet, like me and Joel said, we made an argument that Georgia can't win the championship. Alabama is the only SEC team I could see this year winning the championship. Do I think they would beat an Indiana or an Ohio State? I don't know if I'd pick them, but I'd give them a chance more than I would give Georgia or A&M or any other SEC team that makes the playoff. There are flaws with this team. We knew that coming in. That's been a criticism all year. They have a one-dimensional offense. They rely heavily on the passing attack. And credit to Oklahoma for exposing them in that department. And I will say this. If Ty Simpson doesn't put on a clinic, this offense is beatable. But he didn't have a bad game by any means. 326 and a touchdown, that's not terrible by any means. Two turnovers were costly. Listen, his two turnovers were huge. A pick six and a fumble in his own territory. It's not great. But I will say this about Alabama. This defense is legit. It's getting disrespected. Only 212 yards all game for Oklahoma. 3 of 13 on third down. This is a game that Alabama lost. This is not a game that Oklahoma won. This is the team that made mistakes at home. This is the things that went in Oklahoma's way against Alabama. A pick six, a muffed punt, and a fumble. The muffed punt and fumble both set Oklahoma up in Alabama territory. Those are the only reason they scored points. And they also had a field goal blocked. And they lose this game by two. If Oklahoma is some team that we actually think is legit, this is a game that, and Alabama is supposedly not a title contender, this is a game that any team with those four things going against them, a pick six, a muffed punt, and a fumble in their own territory, and then a blocked field goal, if that team's not a national title contender, this is a game with those things that happen to them, that's a game they lose by at least double digits. Alabama lost this game by two. By two.
Yeah, and they this lost this really game by two.
If any one of those plays, if any one of those plays go Alabama's way instead, they win this game. Any one of them. Not all four, just one. If they don't muff the punt, if they don't have Ty Simpson get sacked and fumble the ball, if they don't throw a pick six,
if he doesn't take it all the way back,
if they don't have the field goal blocked, this team wins. Wins the game.
Yeah, well, they didn't, and it could have cost them a home game in the playoffs.
Well, listen, my argument still stands. This is a team that shot itself in the foot all day on Saturday, and they still only lost to a team that's currently above them in the playoff rankings by 2 points. And I think that tells you that this team, even with their flaws offensively and their lack of a run game, this is a team that has the highest ceiling of anybody in the conference.
Yeah, I agree.
And they are a team that nobody wants to run into in the playoffs.
Oklahoma, totally.
I think
they would destroy Oklahoma in a rematch. Absolutely.
Dude,
destroy them.
Bro, they just played.
I don't care.
On.
I have the. I told you what goes against what went Oklahoma's way.
It's a little premature.
Well, I don't care. We'll have this Oklahoma
Listen,
conversation.
I think your argument for Bama is great. My only gripe with it, and this isn't really taking away from Alabama, their defense is killer. But to me,
so it's
but
most
to me,
other teams
it's,
the SEC.
It's more reflective not of how good their defense is,
not Ole Miss,
but of how incompetent the Oklahoma offense is. And they're
fair
just
enough.
Very inconsistent.
But I've been impressed with
issue.
Bama's defense earlier this season as well. I think they've put together an impressive run.
Yeah.
They've gone under the radar with some impressive defensive
That's
performances.
Fair.
All right.
All right, Krogh.
Moving on to the final segment of the show. We've got teams that we like in the playoff, teams that we don't like in the playoff, and a group of five team that we think is going to get in. Some serious debate on that one over the last few weeks between us off the mic, but now we're bringing it to the show. We're going to start with teams that we like. What team, again, doesn't have to be in the playoff for this. Team that you like that's either in the playoff or out right now, that will be something to be, will be a team to be reckoned with come playoff time.
So, like, I'm going to give you a team, but I just have to, like, point this out. You look at the college football playoff ranking right now, let's just, you know, it'll probably be similar to what the bracket looks like right now. Whoever gets the fourth seed or the sixth seed, congratulations, you're making the Final Four. Because the fourth seed, they're going to have the group of five, which That team, no matter who they are, I don't care if it's like Navy or something, they're not doing anything. And the fifth, Texas Tech right now, they're not going to do anything. And you look at the sixth seed, oh, they're going to have to play the ACC champ. Oh, no. The ACC champ.
Georgia Tech
got
credit.
A lot of great teams
Georgia
there.
Tech Georgia is
Tech's
dangerous
not
when
doing
they're
anything.
Ahead. Georgia Tech is dangerous when
they're
ahead.
They're not going to be
their
ahead.
Their defense is awful. What are we doing here?
Their offense is amazing.
And then you look at the third seed. I mean, wherever Texas A&M lands up, if they get a bye, they're not winning that game.
Let's get one thing right, too. Georgia Haynes King is amazing.
All right, can we get to your team? Can we get to your team?
Oh, please? Ole Miss. Because Ole Miss is...
Yeah, A&M's wiping the floor on Ole Miss.
There's two things...
Absolutely not. I pick Ole Miss over A&M.
There's a few things with Ole Miss. I really thought they were going to lose to Florida, Jake. And I thought that because it felt like... I don't really take Ole Miss seriously as a contender.
Me neither.
Because I think Kiffin... You'll agree with me here. Kiffin chokes these games that he shouldn't choke. And you know what? They were down by four going into the fourth against Florida, and they won the game. Florida's not an amazing team, but they have potential. And the fact that they actually won that game, I was like, you know, maybe Ole Miss is serious. And my only other thing is, because they're not like a top-tier SEC team, they're going to get, I call it the Penn State-esque draw. Penn State had such an easy path last season in the playoffs.
Yep.
Ole Miss is going to get something like that.
Yeah.
They are.
I'll say this for Ole Miss, too. I know I killed them earlier in the season, especially after that game against Washington State where they only won by three, and they had just lost week four to Georgia.
We thought LSU would beat them.
I will say this. This is not
I
points.
Didn't.
This is not points
no,
that
I didn't.
This is not points that I typically will believe. Yeah, you were right about that Ole Miss-LSU game.
I
will say this. Again, not this is an argument you can make, not an argument that I necessarily agree with. They were up after three quarters against Georgia. They look like the better team through three quarters against Georgia. You know, Georgia's a team that typically plays better in the fourth quarter than anybody in the nation, but still. Up three quarters against Georgia at Sanford. Beat LSU and in Death Valley, correct? That game was in Death Valley?
I don't remember.
I'm pretty sure it was. I'm pretty sure it was.
I can check.
And they're pretty battle-tested with games like that. And they beat Oklahoma at Oklahoma as well. And that game, I think, earned a lot of grace. That game earned a lot of grace for me, that Oklahoma win. But my point with Ole Miss is, it's not like they're not battle-tested. I think they've gone through more adversity than A&M has this season. They've faced better teams than A&M has, for sure.
They beat A&M on a neutral field.
I think they beat A&M at Kyle. That's what I'd pick them. That's the way I feel about it. Team that lets up 30 points and a half to South Carolina? Yeah.
But then allows zero in the second half, wins the game.
Okay. All right, buddy. Do you want to go or do you want me to go?
I'll go. I have Georgia. That's no surprise there. They're currently fourth in the playoffs in terms of seeding. They play the winner of that.
I love that
winner,
it's not Texas. He's done with Texas.
Winner of that 12-5.
They're making it in if they upset A&M.
I don't want to play with you anymore. Toy Story 2. I think it's Toy Story 2.
I think all
1?
Three of those teams could definitely be in the playoffs.
I think it's Toy Story 1.
All three of those teams could definitely be in the playoffs.
I don't want
to. All right. Georgia would play the winner of the 12-5 game.
Gunnar Stockton is going to be the best Stockton of all time.
May I? I would love some Gunnar Stockton in my stocking this Christmas. Anyways, Georgia, the 5 seed most likely playing 4 seed, most likely playing the 5 seed Texas Tech, who I think is going to win the Big 12, and I think Georgia easily takes down Texas Tech. Once again, I'm going to go back to Gunnar Stockton.
Oh yeah, big win.
Texas
Tech. Yeah,
elite level. I think Texas Tech's a good team.
Disagree. We both disagree with that take.
Over 20 yards, 19 passing touchdowns, 3 interceptions, 8 rushing touchdowns. And I'm going to bring it up now. Best case scenario is for the Bulldogs to win out and then not play in the SEC championship game.
Well, if they win
It is possible if Alabama wins and they have the tiebreaker.
Yep.
And it'll give that time for rest. And I think that, I mean, yes, I think they could beat A&M in the SEC championship game. But it's in their best case to rest their players. They don't control their own destiny.
Like
anyways, Georgia was still going to get seed.
I like that.
They would probably be the 5 seed.
That's a fair take.
It's like you talk about, I mean, you know, I'm a big MLB guy. So, you know, when a team gets a bye, they may start off a little slow. That happened with Philly and the Dodgers. And it's kind of like Oregon with Ohio State.
Yeah.
I think you kind of have a risk if you have a bye week and you're playing a good team
it's
in the playoffs.
It's fair enough. I think it's my thing with Georgia, and again, we've talked about this throughout the year, but teams with high ceilings, I like teams with high ceilings and not teams with high floors. Georgia, to me, is a team that, you know, I just don't see winning the national championship. I think they have a ceiling that's semifinal round exit. I think that's their ceiling. I don't think
their ceiling's natty, but they're just
against Notre Dame.
That's like if they play perfectly.
I don't think they make natty, but my point is that I think that Georgia, to me, they're a team with a high floor and a low ceiling, and Alabama, by contrast, is a team with a high ceiling and a lower floor. Are we ready for my team?
Yes, we all know.
We all know who it is. Yeah. It's my Notre Dame Fighting Irish. Now, listen.
He's got three mys, Bama, Notre Dame, Oregon.
Correct.
When they're all good at the same time, coincidentally.
Correct, because, well, I'll tell you this. Alabama is worse than it's been in the last 20 years. So
he
wants to
talk about my
correct.
Three teams. He's got three teams as well. I don't want to hear this all.
Well, listen, I have three coaches who I love who just happen to be
coaches. Quarterbacks,
coaching.
He's got coaches.
Who's well? Listen, at least my coaches aren't awful like your Arch Manning. Your Arch Manning, and I also don't drop my one coach for another coach once one coach starts
Croak
doing better
likes
than the other.
Coaches because they've proved themselves. You like players because they're
because they will prove
I
themselves.
Know.
I like coaches who are disrespected. Right. I like Kalen DeBoer. People, personally, because people don't
Terry
like Kalen DeBoer.
Yeah.
Terry Smith, shout out Terry Smith.
Yeah,
no, not shout out Terry Smith.
All right. Anyway, dude, Notre Dame. Listen. Here's the thing with Notre Dame, all right? They've won 8 straight games.
Against?
All by multiple scores. Yeah. Well, you want to talk about a team that they've beaten? They had to beat USC by 10 points, and that's a team that has a pass to the playoff if they beat my national champion, Oregon Ducks.
The Arkansas win, too. That's
kind of... And the Boston College
Arkansas played Ole Miss close. Your Ole Miss Rebels.
The Boston College?
That's what I'm saying. I'm helping you out here.
Oh, sure. I know you're being sarcastic.
No, because you look at... I mean, a lot of the SEC teams have played Arkansas, and they haven't blown them out as much as Notre Dame did.
Common
opponents are a thing that the playoff committee looks at. And Notre Dame has, like, the best win against Arkansas.
Correct. And they destroyed the troops, Jake's beloved Navy. And, you know...
They're making the playoffs,
For the second straight year, we heard Jake talk about, oh, well, one of the service academies is going to give Notre Dame trouble. And I said, laughed that out of the room. And, you know, God bless the troops. But Notre Dame is Notre Dame. Listen, play like a champion today. And that's what they did. They destroyed Navy for the second straight season. Let's get that right. But I will say this, man. I mean, this is a team that has all the ingredients of a team that can make a run. CJ Carr is playing, is a redshirt freshman, has taken major strides as the season's gone along.
We're going to get that Tom Brady quote here soon.
Yes, it's on my list. Tom Brady called him last week the best quarterback I have seen at the college level since Joe Burrow was at LSU.
Yeah, and what does he know about quarterbacks?
Oh, gee, what does he know about quarterbacks? Yeah, Tom Brady, the greatest of all time. Yeah, I like that a lot. He's picked it up as the season's gone along, and he's looked really good as of late. They have my personal Heisman pick in Jeremiah Love. I think he's playing better college football than anybody in the country at the moment.
I got goosebumps thinking about that spin move.
They have an underrated defense. It's not as impressive statistically as it was last year, but they're more battle-tested than they were last year. They're top 20 in scoring defense. They're top 30 in total defense. And most importantly, they have the best coach in college football, in my personal opinion. That's Marcus Freeman, my absolute number one. He's the only guy I've ever seen purely out-scheme Kirby Smart. And listen, I know the argument against this team. They had an early stumble, but this is exactly like last season. They had an early stumble that made everyone skeptical. I never wavered. I said they were disrespected. And look what happened. They made it all the way to the national title game. I think this year's team is better than last year's team. They have a better quarterback. They have Jeremiah Love playing the best football of his career. And you know what? They know they have the hunger of losing in the title game last year, and they're hungry to get back
Riley
and
Leonard
win it this time.
Riley
Leonard was fun, but he's not C.J. Carr.
He's actually better than C.J. Carr.
I would trust Leonard.
Disagree.
More,
disagree. I think C.J. Carr is a better player than Riley.
You would trust him more in a situation.
I think at this point in the season, I would. Yeah.
Good.
Notre Dame, don't sleep. I'll just say that. Now we're moving on to a team that we don't like. I'm going to start with this one.
Yeah.
This team I've mentioned, and I refused to bring up when I talked about this game earlier in the show, Oklahoma is getting my don't like. I think that this is an offense that has completely fallen off a cliff. John Mateer has not been the same since he returned from that hand injury. He only has, listen, since that return, it's been 5 games, 2 passing touchdowns and 4 interceptions since he's returned to the field. That's not good by any means.
One of 3 of those picked because he was injured, though, against Texas, Crow?
I mean, you can make that. Again, that's an argument you can make, but still.
That's the argument you made.
Fair enough. But again, my point is he's playing since he's been injured. Since he's been injured, he's been awful. the only way that this Oklahoma team can compete with upper tier contenders is if their defense creates the splash plays like they did against Alabama, and the sheer amount of them they needed against Alabama to only win by two is a major red flag for me.
It's not practical for them to continue.
Correct. I mean, I give them credit for doing it. They have one of the best defenses in the country, but it's just simply not sustainable. You're not getting a pick six, a blocked field goal, and a strip sack in Alabama territory every single time you play a top tier team. You also needed a muff punt to set you up in Alabama territory. That's not going to happen as much either. Listen, anybody who is a tier one team, Georgia's not tier one, but Ohio State, Indiana will absolutely destroy Oklahoma. Georgia in that tier two.
And up tier one.
They are not tier one with Ohio State and Indiana. And anybody with sense who's not.
Did you say Bama would destroy them?
I think Bama would. I don't know if Bama would destroy them.
It would have been fun to see a head-to-head matchup.
Shut up. Bama would win. My point is Bama would win in a rematch, and I think Georgia would have their way with
Oklahoma.
It's
always about the rematches. You know, how about win the first time, right? Because that's what it matters.
All right. My point is that Oklahoma needed so many things to go their way to beat Alabama by 2 points. I don't think they're going to do that again if they meet Alabama again. Not likely that they will. But I think that they just simply don't measure up to these other teams that are going to be playing in the playoff. And I think that if the playoffs started today, aside from the ACC champion and the Group of Five team, there's not a team in the bracket that I'd pick Oklahoma to beat. Not Texas Tech either. And I know that we and you are both
going right. to Joel. All right, we'll go with Joel. I've got Ryan's national champion, the Oregon Ducks.
I think that's purely absurd.
Extremely tough schedule. One of the toughest.
Hey, Penn State's on the come up. That's a good win.
Remember one of those teams. Okay, Joel. Oh, always trying to get your Penn State.
Yeah, best four win team in college football history.
They have a tougher schedule than Texas A&M. Oregon does.
Yeah.
So if they win out, how you feel about them?
If Oregon wins out,
yep.
Which they will not. I'm not going on hypotheticals.
They're
going to
beat USC this
weekend.
They're
going to lose to
USC. Beat Washington.
Washington, they're 1-2.
Washington lost to Wisconsin.
Washington's also 2-1 against Oregon in the last 3 years.
Okay, that was Michael Penn.
It doesn't matter who wins.
Oregon absolutely destroyed them last year.
Dante Moore was a blank. Dante Moore is
all right, man.
Worse than Bo Nix was.
That's absurd.
Anyway, was a dog.
He was a dog, but still.
Anyways,
still.
Big game against USC. Trojans, best offense in the Big Ten, nearly 500 yards per game. Jordan Maiava leads the Big Ten in passing yards.
Ohio State's offense is the best.
This is outrageous. This is
statistically, it's not.
Okay.
So is your concern with Oregon the fact that it might not get in? Is that what you're trying to say?
Well, Oregon has to win out to get in. Would you agree?
Yeah, they're going to.
But they would have to win out.
Sure.
But they're not going to
do honestly, that. No. You know what? If Texas can get to number 10 with two losses, I don't see why Oregon can't. Oregon could sneak in. They could be on the they'd be in jeopardy, but I don't think if they lose one, especially if it's to USC.
Listen, if it's USC wins, I think USC could definitely get in.
Actually, how about this? If they beat USC but lose to Washington, I think they could get they'll still get in. If they lose to USC, either way, I don't think they'll get in.
Yeah, well, this game of the weekend, it's going to be fun to watch because both teams average nearly 40 points per game, second and third, respectively. And it's just going to be a battle of who can do it better. Dante Moore has been inconsistent against that Iowa game. You want to bring up it to Iowa, it's good defense, yada, 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 tough environment.
There's not a quarterback in the nation who'd play well in that environment.
I disagree.
Would play well, Arch?
No.
Arch wouldn't play well in the sunshine and rainbows. You put him in that Iowa, Kinnick in that weather? Oh, God. Arch Manning's completing 4 passes of 25, and he's throwing 7 picks.
It doesn't matter.
I mean, I told you beginning of the year, Kinnick is a scary place to play. It doesn't matter how good the Iowa is.
All right, let me finish. Against big games this year for Oregon, Moore, against ranked opponents. I think he's had three of those games he's played against ranked opponents. 182 passing yards per game, 4 total touchdowns, 3 total interceptions. That is not good.
I think that's a misleading stat line. I think that factors in way too much his Iowa game averages. And his Iowa game was not pretty, but listen, that's a game that was never going to be pretty for any quarterback, and he proved that he can still go in there and win you a game. He was exceptional on that final drive, and he won that, and that's a game. That win, you know, it might not be the most impressive on the box score, but I give them a lot of credit for winning that game, and especially the way they
did.
That's
like a welcome to the Big Ten, and you can handle it type of thing.
Correct, correct.
Because Iowa is not – Kinnick, you don't take lightly.
Listen, you know, and you want to talk – I mean, Indiana, we're talking about Indiana as the greatest team since sliced bread. The reason they're in that conversation is because they beat – Oregon at Eugene, and Oregon still put up 20 points on one of the best scoring defenses in the country in that game.
That's the best win in college football.
100%. And the reason it's the best win in college football is because Oregon's one of the best teams in college football, and they also won in the toughest environment to play in maybe sports, and that's the whiteout at Penn State. And that's before Penn State fell off a cliff, and they were the team that broke Penn State.
So yeah, then the first round of the playoff right now would be 7 Oregon against 10 Alabama. Who are you picking?
Oregon.
Beat
Alabama. Oregon's one of the.
Yeah, it wouldn't be any. Yeah,
I'd pick Oregon either way. Oregon, this is a team that I think is getting disrespected. I think that a loss to Indiana is your only loss on your resume. I think that's not a bad one.
I'd pick Oregon. If it was at Bryant Denny, I'd pick it, Bama.
Fair enough. Again, Oregon's got one of the top 10 scoring defenses and top 10 scoring offenses in the country. They're the only other teams in that category that are currently in the playoff: Texas Tech and Indiana.
Yeah, I'm going to keep mine pretty simple. It's Texas A&M. I already talked about them a lot.
Frauds.
And I'm going to be honest with you, Jake. You can clown me for this. I don't have many concrete reasons. I don't really see them.
They don't pass the litmus test.
Right. It's just, you know, you look at them, and I think if you're an Aggies fan, they're sitting at number 3, they're undefeated. You're like, if you don't win a natty, it's a bit of a failure, right?
Disagree.
And you can't look at me in the face and say that they are going to win the national championship.
I just don't think if they don't win the national championship, that's a
season. I agree with
season.
That.
Marshall Reed's a sophomore.
Fair, but that's why I don't like them. I think you look at them, you know, just strictly eye test 11-0 or 10-0, number 3, you think, oh, they're going to compete for a natty.
They're not there.
And that's why I don't like them. Yeah. And Marshall Reed is too inconsistent.
I think if you like you do the close your. You ever hear this? Is close your eyes and envision their quarterback lifting the championship trophy. You can't see Marcel Reed doing it this year.
No, I don't.
You just can't.
I could see. I could see him doing it. I could see Marcel Reed doing it in a couple of years though.
Disagree.
I agree, Jake.
I don't know about that. Group of 5. Jake, let's start with you.
The Navy midshipmen.
Oh God.
Yes, this is America. The best rushing offense.
Yes. I'm glad you know where we are.
Best rushing offense in the country, over 300 yards per game. They only need one win to get into the American Conference Championship. That game will most likely be against North Texas. They just beat USF.
They will not get into the American Championship.
Texas beat them already.
Exactly. It's a top 2 teams, Joel. Navy, if they win against Memphis, which I think they do, even though that is a tough game, then
Tulane will get into that game over them.
Yeah, I don't think Navy's in the conversation, to be honest.
I agree.
With
you. I think. Listen, I'm sticking with the Navy because I believe in the midshipmen. The biggest thing, if it's Navy North Texas in the championship game, best rushing offense, Navy over 300 yards per game. Mean Green seventh worst rushing defense in the country, second worst in that American Conference.
Well, gee, yeah. I mean, North Texas and Navy, what a concerning matchup. I mean, I don't know how North Texas is going to win that game. It's almost like they haven't played this season. And North Texas, they did play this season, and North Texas won by 2 scores.
Yeah,
you want to talk about North Texas? Let's talk about North Texas because this is my group of 5 team.
You're the
matchup
guy, though. Listen, you contradicted yourself a little bit there.
Fair enough. But my point is, I will say this. Rematch. Sure enough, but you guys were giving me nonsense for the rematch, and I'm going to give it back to you for this kid because you both were saying, "Oh, I don't know who's a better team." They played head-to-head, and Oklahoma won. And I was saying, "Well, if they play them twice, I think Alabama can win." But you guys were making that argument, so now I get to make it
because they just played them.
Well, my point.
This one's further away, so it's better.
My point, either way, North Texas. Number 1 scoring offense, number 5 total offense in FBS. The thing I like more than anything, though. Best turnover margin in the nation. 1.4 more turnovers per game than their opponent. That's number 1 above Indiana, who is a bona fide title contender. Oh, they beat your beloved midshipmen. God bless the troops. 31-7. They sunk the ship. And, you know, their only remaining games are against Rice and Temple, so they're going to make the American Championship game. Listen, they're absolutely going to be the American champion and going to win that game and play in the college football playoff. They have a quarterback in Drew Mestemaker who had thrown for 600 yards earlier in a game this year. They have the resume. They have the path as well, which is arguably more important at this point in the season. It's just simply going to be them. They have already beaten your midshipmen, Jake. Sorry to burst your bubble.
Yeah, they'll play again.
I,
and they won't.
I like North Texas as the favorite. And, you know, I respect the Navy pick, but I don't. I think they're like the fourth squad in the running for this. I think it's Tulane, North Texas, JMU.
Yes.
I think JMU is not getting talked about enough.
I agree.
Bob Chesney is a fantastic coach. They have one loss. It was at Louisville, I believe, by 14. And say what you want. Oh, Louisville's not that good. They've gotten upset recently. We're talking about Group of Five teams here. That's a great loss for a Group of Five squad. They played close to the end. I think it's between JMU.
They were up on that game. They were up.
Who's your
answer
to make it clear? Who is your Group of Five team?
I'm going to go North Texas because of Messemaker. I mean, he's fourth in the country in passing yards. And for some reason, I don't know why, but the JMU plays Coastal Carolina, and Coastal Carolina is 6-4. That game scares me for JMU for some reason. I just feel like they might slip up.
It's on the board. It's on the board.
That's all I got.
One thing I can agree on with you is that it's not Navy.
It's not Navy, no.
I want to see Navy in there.
They
have.
Okay, so you're picking them because you want to see them there.
But I think they also have the resume to do that.
They lost to North Texas.
They lost.
I know they lost to North Texas, but I think they have definitely have the opportunity to rematch them in the championship game and win.
All right, Croak.
Okay, then I want credit for saying that Alabama would win a rematch with Oklahoma.
They'd lose, but yeah.
They would not. They would absolutely win. Because you know what? You're arguing, the team you're arguing would win a rematch, lost by two scores, and the team I'm arguing would win a rematch lost by 2 points. So let's get that right. North Texas would beat Navy and will beat them a second time this season should they.
You know, I hope this happens. I hope we get North Texas Navy American Championship.
That's going to be North Texas. Be fun. It's going to be Mean Green. All right. Any final comments before we wrap up shop? All right.
Nope.
That'll do it for this week's edition of The Lineup. Quite the episode. Much more time today than we've taken up at any point in the past. An hour and 20 we're clocking in at. Usually restricted to those 30-minute shows, but this is a fun one, gentlemen. Thank you for being here.
Yeah.
My pleasure.
Always a pleasure to talk sports. Terry
Smith, Gronk, yeah. Looking good.
Yeah.
Gronk. All right, everybody. We'll see you all next week.